Father God, we come together today to worship you. You are worthy of all the praise we can give you and even more. And so we just ask that what you hear today would be pleasing to your ears, Lord. As Matt dives into the scripture, the love letter from you to us, we pray that its words and his teachings would penetrate our hearts and minds this morning, and that we might be drawn nearer to you. In your name we pray, amen. Our reading today comes from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. If you're able, please stay standing with me in the honor of God's word. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Thanks, Jeremy. Good morning, everyone. Good to be with you. We underset up today because we did not expect to have great attendance. And so, man, look at this. Well done, guys. Well done. We are in week two of our sermon series on hospitality and invitation. Probably going to go maybe 4 to 6 weeks, kind of feeling that out as we go. But as I said last week, the reason that we have pivoted from kind of doing a single book of the Bible to doing a topical sermon series on hospitality and invitation is that this is our theme, our big idea, our vision as a church for 2024. Again, we are a church that really prides ourselves on our intimate connection, our relationship, our family kind of values, our community. And this year, we really want to say, how can we get out a little bit more? How can we welcome people into what we have as a church? So we'll talk more about that at the congregational meeting, but we wanted to do a sermon series just leading up to that, to really root us in this idea. And what we're going to see is next week, we'll maybe get a little more what you would call practical, a little more kind of, okay, what do we do? Where do we go? How do we approach the outsider? But I think it's really important when we're talking about this topic to start with the heart, right? We can jump to all of the practical things that you should do, but it really begins, hospitality begins with your heart, your posture. How are you even approaching people around you? What's driving you? And so last week, we talked about what you could maybe call is the negative side of the coin, which is that hospitality is innately costly. It comes at a cost. It is inequitable. Jesus says, when you are serving others, do not expect repayment. In fact, when you serve others and don't expect repayment, that is what gives your hospitality meaning. It's what gives it virtue. But this week, we're going to look at what you could maybe call as the positive side of the coin, which is that our hospitality is powerful. We often tend, I think, to undervalue the work of hospitality. And today, I want to encourage us to be optimistic, to be hopeful about the work of hospitality and how it can influence and affect others. And so our main point for today is that even the most basic and simple act of hospitality can have a glorious impact for the kingdom of God. So today, Jeremy only read 3 verses, and I'm actually only going to preach on 1 verse. So we're going to just squeeze all of the life we can out of verse 2 here, and we're going to see 3 things. First, we're going to look at the command to be hospitable. Secondly, we're going to analyze the people that we are being hospitable to. And third and finally, we're going to reflect on the effects of our hospitality, the fruit of our hospitality. So let's start with the command to be hospitable. And we see this in the very beginning of verse 2. The author of Hebrews closes his book, final chapter, by saying, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. Stop, right? So if you need a reason or rationale to be hospitable, if you need proof that as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, you should be hospitable, there you go. There's a verse for you. We are called to be hospitable people. But one of the things that I continually try to push when we preach a sermon is every verse has context. We need context, right? We're jumping into a book that we're not preaching on. We're coming to the very final chapter. So how does this fit into all of the book of Hebrews? Well, Hebrews is one of the most beautiful, dense, challenging books of the Bible. And the author of Hebrews is essentially writing this massive sermon. It's more of a sermon than it is a letter. And kind of the main point of Hebrews is him saying, look at Christ, our high priest. Christ has taken on our flesh. He has paid the cost. He has done all of the work necessary to connect you with God the Father in the great miraculous throne room of heaven. And therefore, go boldly. Live out your faith. Persevere. And so, understanding that context of the book of Hebrews, we come to chapter 13, which is the final chapter of the book of Hebrews. And like most good sermons, like most good letters in the Bible, it ends with summary and application. Hey, having said that, chapter 13, here are kind of the final points to remember. And so as we get to chapter 13 of this big, glorious book, the first main thing that the author says is do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. So clearly this matters quite a bit. And despite the fact that the NIV reading of this kind of sounds like a suggestion, it kind of sounds like a throwaway line, something a parent might yell at you as you go out the door, right? Don't forget to show hospitality. When we look at the Greek, this phrase is an imperative, meaning that it is a command. Meaning that the author of the book of Hebrews is not ending by saying, oh, by the way, wouldn't it be nice and sweet to show hospitality? No, the author is saying hospitality is a necessary part of the Christian life. If you call yourself a follower of God, hospitality and a hospitable heart must and should be baked into who you are. And what we're going to see in a second is that hospitality is a part of the Christian DNA. It's a part of our heritage. But the last thing that I want to extract from this beginning of verse 2 is that when we look at the word hospitality in the Greek, it does not mean to tolerate your neighbor. It means to love the stranger. That's literally what it means in the Greek, love of stranger. Think about how antithetical this idea is in our society today. Right, I'm not pointing the finger, but in our culture today, kind of implicitly, maybe it's not explicitly said, but I think it's felt through media and social media and anecdotes that are shared. What we are told is distrust the stranger. Fear the stranger. When you come in contact with a stranger, throw your guard up, raise your shoulders, be skeptical, fearful, and distrusting. That is the water that we swim in. And here is the author of Hebrews saying, as believers, no, go against the current. Show love and hospitality and kindness to the stranger. This is something you must do as a follower of Christ. And I want to encourage us right off the bat here that this is not just a nice idea that is unique to the author of Hebrews. This is a part of your heritage as a follower of Christ. This is a part of our DNA. This is a part of our history as the people that follow the way of Christ. There was a book I meant to put up a picture of and I forgot, but a well-respected book written by Rodney Stark, who's a sociologist and a historian, and it is called The Rise of Christianity. And it is a great book. And so Rodney Stark was this historian, and at the time that he wrote this book, he was not a Christian. He actually later converted to Christianity, but at the time that he wrote this book, he wasn't a Christian, and his whole question was, he said, how is it possible that this little subset of Judaism from the first century that worships a man that died on a cross, how did this ragtag group of people grow and grow to become the largest religion in the world? How is that even possible? And so all throughout his book, he's got chapter after chapter saying, well, they did this, they did this, they did this. And kind of the underlying thread is hospitality. It is love of the stranger. One of the most influential chapters in that book is one about plagues and sickness. That Christians throughout the years, when plagues or epidemics or different sicknesses and illnesses spread around, most of the time people would flee from the cities as people were dying in the cities. But Christians were the people that would actually go into the cities and take care of people that they didn't know, people that maybe would cost them their own lives. And in fact, we have this really interesting letter from the 4th century where the Roman Emperor Julian, who's trying to build a counter-religion, a religion of worshiping Rome, is writing to someone and complaining about those pesky Christians with all of their love and hospitality. And so in this letter, he says atheism, and when he says atheism, he means Christians, non-Rome followers. He says, atheism has been specially advanced through the loving service rendered to strangers and through their care for the burial of the dead. It is a scandal that there is not a single Jew who is a beggar and that the godless Galileans, meaning followers of Christ, care not only for their own poor, but for ours as well, while those who belong to us look in vain for the help that we should render to them. So Christians were known for their love, their hospitality, their care for the stranger. Stark has another chapter in the book, which I wanted to give like one really powerful example, but there's just too many, where he talks about the church's treatment of women, that historically the church has treated women better than the surrounding culture, has respected them, given them more rights, cared for widows who normally would have been out on their own. And Stark says in that chapter that there is virtual consensus among historians of the early church, as well as biblical scholars, that women held positions of honor and authority within early Christianity. And he goes on to say, the primary conversion to Christianity was far more prevalent among females than among males. And the reason for that is because women were respected and cared for, and so they turned to Christianity and the church. Throughout our Christian heritage, we see love of stranger and hospitality. But if we go back even further, if we go back to the Old Testament, we see hospitality all over the place. There is almost this kind of underlying belief in the Old Testament that if you're not being hospitable, your righteousness is kind of in question. And we've got this famous moment in Genesis 18 where we see Abraham, the father of the Jewish faith, demonstrating this ancient Near East hospitality. There are some men that are traveling down the road. He doesn't know them. And it says, when he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, if I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way. Doesn't really sound like our culture today, right? But what's even better is that these men, they come and they receive hospitality from Abraham in Genesis 18, and then they leave and they go on their way, and then they run into Abraham's nephew Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot treats them the exact same way. Come into my house, come into my house. What can I do for you? How can I take care of you? This is clearly a requirement to the Christian faith. This is not just a random biblical command from the author of Hebrews. This is not just about warm fuzzies. In fact, I think as we get deeper into the sermon series, for me, this series should actually be convicting for us. It's convicting for me. Are we living this way? Are we adhering to our Christian heritage, or have we lost this in our modern society? Do we seek to approach the stranger with love and care and interest in sacrifice? Or have we adopted the cultural way of choosing distrust, skepticism, and indifference? So the Bible calls us to be hospitable, but let's kind of get encouraged here. Okay, how do we encourage ourselves to engage with this practice more? Well, let's do two things. We're going to look at the people that we're called to be hospitable to and the effects of that hospitality. And so to understand the people that we're called to be hospitable to, let's go back to verse 2, and we're going to reread the whole thing. The author of Hebrews writes, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." Now, that's a weird line, but most likely what the author here is specifically referencing is what I just referenced a few minutes ago. He's most likely referencing Genesis 18 and Genesis 19, the hospitality of Abraham and the hospitality of Lot. Because what I left out of those stories is that Abraham, he goes to these men, he sees them traveling down the road, he doesn't know them. And in Genesis 18, there's all these little hints and clues that these are not ordinary men. These are divine beings sent by God. And then in Genesis 19, when they go to Lot's house, it just makes it clear. The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. So pretty interesting story where Abraham and Lot both think that they are just serving normal guys, and they turn out to be angels. But what is the author's point here? I think the author's point is that Abraham and Lot unknowingly offered hospitality to people who were far more glorious than they could ever imagine. And I think that we do the same. I think that in our life, friends, we are often, if not always, serving and loving strangers who are more glorious than we even imagine them to be. What do I mean by that? Let's just start with Christians. Let's start with our tribe, right? You welcome a Christian into your home. They're a friend. Maybe they are a stranger. You welcome them into your home. And the Bible says that when you show hospitality to a Christian, that is not a normal human being. You are showing hospitality to someone that has been united with Jesus Christ, that has been dead and resurrected in Jesus Christ, and is now a new creation. They are not what they used to be. They are a new creation. When you show hospitality to a Christian, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are sitting across the table or entering into a conversation with somebody that literally has the presence of God Almighty dwelling inside of them. The Bible says that when you show hospitality to a Christian, that person is not a normal human. They are a saint. They are holy. That one day they will stand in their glorified state in the kingdom of heaven, and they will be worshiping God Almighty. You are not showing hospitality to a normal human being. But what about non-Christians? People who are not saints, people that are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, they could be someday. Maybe they are in waiting. Maybe they are soon to become a saint. Maybe they will soon have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of them. And maybe through your hospitality and your kindness, you are moving them in that direction to know God. C.S. Lewis has a great quote about this from his book, The Weight of Glory. The way Lewis just thinks, it applies theology and imagination together, is so good. He says, "It is a serious thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses, to remember that the dullest, most uninteresting person you can talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you would be strongly tempted to worship. There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal, but it is mortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. You are always showing hospitality to someone who is more glorious than you can even imagine." But the pushback here may be, what if I'm not? What if I'm not showing hospitality to an angel, to a saint, to a future saint? What if I am showing hospitality to the most disgusting, depraved, wicked, gross person that I have ever met in my life? I would argue that even then, they are even more glorious than you can imagine. And why might that be? Because that person is still made in the image of God. All throughout the Bible, the image of God is this thread that continues from the beginning to the end. All the way back in Genesis chapter 1, as God creates the world, it says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them." Genesis 1 is saying all people are made in the image of God, regardless of their gender, regardless of their class, regardless of their sexual orientation, regardless of where they live, regardless of their righteousness, regardless of if they're Christian or Buddhist or Muslim or atheist, they are made in the image of God, which means that God has knit them, yes, even them, he has knit them together in their mother's womb. That God has given them a name that belongs to them alone. That God has given them meaning and purpose. That regardless of how they live or how depraved they are, God has given them dignity and value and worth. His fingerprints are all over them. Friends, as I reflect on my own lack of hospitality with strangers this week, I'm convinced that most of our issues with hospitality come from us undervaluing people. It comes from us saying, well, that person's not worth my time. It's not going to matter, right? That person's just beneath me in some way, shape, or form. And I'm further convinced, friends, that if we don't find a way to see people the way that God sees them, if we don't find a way to properly value or overvalue people, we will never really truly be hospitable. We'll always just be checking a box or not even doing that. All of this starts with our heart. So if we tend to undervalue people that we're called to overvalue, I think we also tend to undervalue the effects, the fruit of our hospitality. So let's talk about the effect of our hospitality on others. And I want to share with you a very important phrase that has meant a lot to me over the years that a fellow pastor friend shared with me. And that is the phrase, the homie hookup. The homie hookup. And my buddy once said to me, Matt, let me explain to you what a homie hookup is. And he grew up in a small town, and every once in a while he would go to Dairy Queen and he would drive through the drive-thru and he would order a three-piece chicken basket. Stick with me here. Three-piece chicken basket. And if his friend, i.e. his homie, was working at Dairy Queen that night, he would say, a three-piece chicken basket and I'd like the homie hookup. And when he came around and he picked up his three-piece chicken basket, do you know what he'd find? Three additional pieces in his chicken basket. And he said, Matt, that is a homie hookup. Friends, we all want a homie hookup. We want that out of our hospitality. I want to know that if I'm going to invest in you, there is going to be reciprocation. At the very least, I want to know that if I'm going to give my time and energy to you, the effects, the fruit of that will be worth the cost. One of the most rewarding aspects of my job, for all of its challenges and stresses, is those moments where someone that maybe does not normally engage with me, someone that I don't normally get to talk to, writes a card or a letter, or they just randomly come up to me and say, hey, I just want you to know how much you've impacted me, or that sermon series impacted me, or the way that you did that funeral or that wedding was just so meaningful to me. That means so much as a pastor because you don't realize the effect you have on people. When someone shares that with you, right, it kind of makes it all worthwhile. But as we talked about last week, Jesus said that we are not called to serve people with the expectation that we'll get that, with the expectation that it will be reciprocated. And in fact, most of the time when you choose to show love or hospitality to a stranger or a difficult person, you simply will not know the effects and the fruit of that hospitality for two reasons. The first one is that oftentimes we as human beings have a very bad EQ. We have a very bad emotional intelligence. We know how we've been impacted by someone. We're thankful for the love and the kindness they've shown to us, but we don't really know how to share that back with them. We don't know how to articulate that. Is that going to be weird if I say that? So I'll just not say anything at all. That's the bittersweetness of funerals. A lot of stuff that should have been said to the face of an individual is saved for when they're already gone. But the second reason why we often don't know the impact of our love for other people is that those people themselves don't know the impact that our love has on them. A lot of times we are moving people's hearts and their souls and their minds, and we're caring for them, but it's so kind of beneath the surface that they themselves cannot even see it. And truly, friends, we can never really know the effect our love has on another person. Only God is able to see that. And so the encouragement and the challenge that Jesus gives to us is he says, be hospitable even without knowing the effects, without knowing the fruit. Just be hospitable to be hospitable because he does know. He does know the effects of that. That's what's so exciting about the story of Abraham and Lot, right? They come in and they end up showing hospitality to people that are more glorious than they imagined, and the effects and the fruit of their hospitality is tremendous, right? Abraham kind of learns about the plan of God and he intercedes for Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot welcomes these people in and they end up saving his life in the midst of the surrounding destruction. The effects are amazing. But most of the time, we don't know that. And that causes us to undervalue our hospitality. And when we undervalue what our hospitality can do, we find ourselves undervaluing what God is capable of. If you've heard me share my testimony, my story of how I came to know Christ and walked with Christ, there's a part of my story that I feel like I unintentionally always share, which is that when I got to college, I checked out Campus Crusade for Christ, and it was a little too like hands in the air for this Lutheran boy. And so I was like, I don't know if this is for me. Checked it out a few times, went to a few Bible studies, like, I don't know if I'm going to do this. And then one day, randomly, I was in a food court, and the Bible study leader from my dorm that I had gone to once or twice was there. He was an off-campus guy. There was no reason he should have been there, but he was there. He saw me, and I had kind of made the decision of I'm going to be done with that. And he saw me, and he was like, Matt, good to see you. Are you coming to Bible study tonight? And I was like, yes, absolutely, Tim. I will be there. And because of that one silly invitation, I went, and I went back, and I went back, and I got more involved with Campus Crusade for Christ, and I grew in my Christian faith because of that one silly guy who gave me that one silly invitation. And so my question is, who is that for you? Who has that been for you? In your journey with Christ, what are the seemingly meager, simplistic, throwaway acts of kindness and mercy that have led you to where you are today? And the last bit of encouragement that Christ gives us is he says, even if you can't know the effects, even if you don't know the fruit, even if you have a hard time trusting that you will impact anybody, Jesus reminds us of this in Matthew 25, verse 40. He says, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Right? Even when we don't know the effects or the fruit, God smiles upon us and says, well done, good and faithful servants. Christ says, the act of kindness that you gave to that person, you have given to me. So in conclusion, I just want to confess that this sermon was kind of a slog for me this week. It was a weird one. It was one where every day I just was like, I don't know how I feel about this. I don't know how I feel about this. For starters, I've never really preached on one verse before. I don't recommend it. The Puritans did that a lot. I'm clearly not a Puritan. But it feels to me like a sermon throughout the week. It just felt like it was filled with cliches. Felt like it was filled with truths that many of us as Christians already know. It felt like in some ways it was a little too abstract. But the more that I think about it, I think if we can accept these principles, it's actually incredibly practical. And it is incredibly transformative. We are part of a heritage of hospitality and love of stranger, but we often fail to live up to that because we undervalue people and we undervalue the effects that our hospitality will have on them. And so I want to invite you and invite me to return to delighting in this heritage, this history that we have as Christians of desiring to love our neighbor, and may we just promote that and live into that. Let us look at the stranger as a saint, as a future saint, at the very least as someone that is made in God's image. Let us trust that God can and will use our meager acts of hospitality in some way, shape, or form. And ultimately, as we said last week, may we practice hospitality and love of stranger because that is who our God is. He was hospitable to us, so may we be hospitable to others. Typically, I close our time in prayer, but today I want you to close our time in prayer. We're going to take maybe 60 seconds, and I would just encourage you to go to the Lord and just say, Lord, open my heart. How do you want me to apply this? How can I be more hospitable and loving to the strangers around me? So go ahead and spend some time in prayer, and we'll continue on in about 60 seconds. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your hospitality, that when we were not even seeking it or looking for it, Lord, your hospitality led you to seek us, to find us, to welcome us in despite our brokenness, our sins, our depravity. You filled us with your image, and Lord, you have remade us as a new creation filled with your very presence. Help us to not downplay that in ourselves and to downplay that in others. Lord, may we show love to the stranger in the same way that you have shown love to us. We pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen.